Okay, welcome everybody. We're going to get back to questions tonight. I'm going to open the floor up. And I like to always remind you that my answers are just my answers. The questions are actually more important than the answers, because the questions are showing that you're applying yourself, you're trying to consider different possibilities rather than thinking you know it all yourself. But you ask questions because you're curious. You ask questions because you're looking for more, something different. Hopefully I can provide that, but if nothing else, maybe we can plant the seed tonight that you can grow from and find out more on your own. So the floor is open. Let's see what you come up with. Yes, sir.
Sir, I have a question about the experience of chi. And as far as I understand how nerves work, when we experience something physically, we're experiencing it through the nerves, which I don't really understand. But I was wondering, when you're experiencing chi, and I've heard you mention that there are different levels of experience, what exactly are you experiencing it with?
I missed the last word, maybe. What exactly are you experiencing?
The chi with.
With?
Yeah, like what part of you?
The physical body's there.
So is your physical body experiencing chi?
Absolutely. That's all you wanted to know?
Thanks.
You're welcome. I think you remind me of this esoteric, mysterious consideration of what chi is. Chi is the energy of life. Then there's blood. Chi and blood together circulate through the body. But there's other things too, nerve impulses, right? Electricity moves through our body. So one way chi is considered bioelectricity. But the Chinese concept of qi, if you think of food and air, you can also look at oxygen and nutrients, right? But it's more than that. In Chinese medicine, they say the spleen takes the energy from the food, whereas the stomach takes the physical part, the physical nutrients. So it's like an essence. In other words, you can eat one food, two foods, right? One can be overcooked, can be older, can be lacking life. Even when you cook a vegetable, you'll notice there's a point when it gets very bright, and then very quickly after that, it gets dark. So I look at that as you just brought the life out of it. You got to catch it right away then. You let it go past that, it's starting to go down, it's dying. So people who like things really well done, overcooked, all the more you add heat, the more you're destroying that food. Less energy for you to use. In the air, you have more than oxygen. There are other chemicals as well as ions. The air in the city is very different than the air in the mountains. Just yesterday, I was in Pennsylvania, and just getting out of the car, it hit me so quickly. Just so much more. Even though I go to the woods around here, it's still around here. But up in the Poconos, you don't hear anything, too. So the quiet was deafening. You think about all the things that affect our energy, that affect our experience every day. There's so much noise that we have to filter out in order to function. Then suddenly you go to where there isn't any, and many people are very uncomfortable. To me, it was like falling in love again. Because it's been a little while since I've been able to go someplace that quiet. And it sort of put me in a trance. It put me immediately in a meditative state where I was experiencing far more than just the physical. very interesting, and I stayed with it for a bit. I'm around my family, but I was in my own world. Even though I'm paying attention, I'm not paying attention. You know, I'm paying attention really to more, not just the obvious, not just going to my kids and being all attentive. It's more like, I know they're there, and there's so much beauty around us. The air was so crisp, so I could taste it. Instant energy, energizing. It's energizing air. So you can't say air is air. You can't say water is water. H2O? It's not just H2O, there's more. Can we measure everything? I don't think so. There's more there. Stale water, fresh water. You know, the kind that rolled down the mountain over the rocks? It's got a certain energy to it. One sitting in a pond. Not just bacteria there, there's more. If you research these things, you may be very surprised. It's not just physical. So whether or not we can explain it in a scientific way doesn't necessarily mean, even if we can explain it in a scientific way, doesn't mean we know everything that's there. We cannot recreate an apple or a carrot, and yet you go to the health food store and you have all these vitamin pills trying to give you all these things. They say the one a day, take this, it's all you need. I don't buy that for a second. There's so much more than they know. They can't create anything that's alive, that was once alive. They can only create the physical things they can measure. What's missing? Even when I was in school for Oriental medicine, one of the teachers used the example, if you take vitamin A, your body is looking for the rest of the carrot. And so where is it going to get it? It's going to take it from other places in the body to try to restructure what you need. How much is missing? How many thousands of ingredients possibly are missing in that food? So the life force comes from the complete structure, not just what we think. Food is I studied a long time. I know you maybe you can't read this, but this is ascorbic acid. This whole thing is vitamin C. So even vitamin C is not what they're selling you. They're selling you the wrap. They're missing the guts. Your body can't use ascorbic acid like vitamin C. It's an acid. It's going to create acid, an acidic environment. It's going to have an effect on bacteria levels, sure. People take a lot of vitamin C, they think it helps their immune system. Your body's going to react to the acidity. It's not getting all this. Only food has this. So take that further. The air you breathe, the water you drink, all making qi. What's in our circulation? Then a live body and a dead body. What's different? My second teacher, Yang Dringmen, used that example at a medical school. He says everything you measure, everything you see in the cadaver is all there, but why isn't it alive? None of them had an answer. And of course his answer is, what's missing is qi, the life force. What makes it alive? So qi is more than just those physical components. Now the thing is, when you're feeling this life force coursing through your system, or not feeling it, what's different? Because we can be very closed to our circulation. If you're still breathing, you're alive. why don't you feel qi? The ability to feel qi is going to come, one, from training the sensitivity, and two, from being able to relax and open up more. So if we've got a roadway of qi, and there's just a small amount moving through, just enough to keep you alive, you don't feel much. But if you start building this energy, it's going outside those lines, it starts to create more pressure. More pressure is why you feel it. More sensitive, you'll feel anytime. But as you train the body and the mind together, you already have more than the average person who doesn't. Plus, you don't have these restrictions blocking the flow as much. Bad thought restricts, blocks the chi flow. You move energy through there, you're going to get a very strong feeling. Just like the dam, the water builds up behind the dam. So much more powerful than if they just let that river run. The river has a natural flow. You dam it up, it's going to build up, it's going to build up, it's going to build up. And sometimes, even after storms, they break. A little more, add a little more to that pressure, the dam can't handle it anymore. The dam is designed to handle that river. Now you add a little more, that's what we're doing. We're adding a little more. We're making a storm. It's a good storm. So it's more powerful. And you feel more. But the sensitivity side comes from the ability to be quiet. You don't feel much when your mind is scattered all over the place. Another reason why, when I got out of the car, it instantly brought me back to all the time I've spent in the woods. That was part of the experience. It was this sudden expansion of awareness just hit me. It's like I traveled in time and I was back to all that kind of practice. Instantly brought back, opened up. Why? One reason, because it's so quiet. Another reason is because the experience was still in me. If I talk to you about qi circulation, instantly you might feel that. Very interesting. I'm describing in class, you need to do this or you need to do that, and right away, because my mind's focusing that way, it starts this. It gets stronger. So how much is the mind in control of that flow? So it's the better breathing plus better environment, better eating, plus better quality food, better thinking, plus less thinking, quieter mind, better movement. What's that? What's different if I just run? Heart's pumping, a lot of blood circulation, right? What's different from qigong? My teacher always talks about how do you judge good exercise? Well, how do you judge if an exercise is good? It doesn't have to be bad exercise, good exercise. Just how do you judge the quality of the exercise you're doing? Is it just how much you like it? Feels good. Feels good to sit on the couch with a beer too. Which one's circulating energy? The more parts of the body are involved in the movement, the better the quality the exercise is. Because more parts are going to create this phenomenon. And that's how you'll get a strong sense of your inner circulation, but your life force. But how do you feel anything? If you don't have a body, you say, is it physical? If you don't have a body, you don't need to worry about any of this stuff. You're just consciousness then. It's probably why we're here. We want to feel. Next question.
Sifu, along the same lines of talking about chi, when I practice, sometimes I feel different feelings with the chi. And I know in the past when you've talked about principles, you've talked about the different skin chi, nerve chi, bone chi. Can you explain a little bit more about the differences between them?
Well, I learned from my teacher not to tell you how they feel, but they are distinctly different, and they are levels as well. The easiest one to feel is the skin or even the muscle chi, what's on the surface. That's that tingling. That's that. It can be heavy. It can be almost feel like it's thicker, inflated. Pins and needles, almost like something falling asleep. Various ways you can feel swollen, another way. So heavy, heat, swollen, those kind of things. Most people can feel that within 5 minutes of doing the basic chi exercise. Then, as you're more advanced, that feeling should grow, should spread. Again, telling you how much healthier you are because you're feeling that chi everywhere eventually. Maybe just coming to the forearm, then filling up this area, chest, back, eventually all, everywhere. But we have specially designed movements to create that. So is it necessary to do different kind of movements for it to go deeper and get more nerve and bone? No, what happens is these fill up. You're continuing to train. Your body relaxes more. The energy starts stimulating into the joints. The joints have more nerves, and that's also how the bone marrow can be reached. You can get into the bone. So the energy starts to reach deeper because you're progressing. You're sending more energy to deeper parts of the body. You're reaching smaller and smaller places, just like if you look, you know, the leaves are falling now. Go where there's a lot of trees and look up when the leaves are all gone. That's the same way the arterial system, the circulatory system looks. From the big trunk to the branches to smaller, smaller, smaller branches. Exactly like that. Each one has a job all the way down to the end, just like the capillaries reach every cell. The air we breathe and the food we eat has to reach every cell. If it doesn't reach that cell gets sick. That's what Sisu would say, and viruses have a party. Because that's the environment they like, the sick environment, degenerative, dying. Tissue. That's what they feed on. You don't have that, you don't get sick. Not that kind of sick. You need something to feed on. You put a leech on the body, the leech will feed until there's fresh tissue, and the leech doesn't have any more to eat because they eat the degenerative tissue. This is natural law. Starts reaching deeper and deeper, it can reach the nerves, it can reach the bone. Some can feel bone and not nerve. Some can feel nerve without bone. Some feel all depends on the time you put in. But if 10, 20, 30 years, you're just feeling that tingling in the hands, boy, were you ripped off. Yeah, I'm sorry to be blunt, but this is true. And my first 7, 8 years were like that. 3 hours a day, Tai Chi, in addition to Shaolin Kung Fu. But when you start moving, you have more coiling movements, you have more twisting movements, it will greatly enhance the Qi circulation. So there are so many misguided teachers who think they have some amazing form that's been passed down from generation to generation. And when you question, why is this so great, this form? What's so great about it? Oh, because the grandmaster had it and he passed it down, and this is what he says is great. Why? Just because it's some famous master? You know, some master can get famous in ancient times. He had a fight, he won the fight, and he got a reputation. And so he makes some form up and passes it on to students, but that's not why he won that fight. You can get a 90-pound woman with her child, some mugger comes along, she kills him or maims him, puts him in the hospital and survives the attack. Should she be a famous master? She had something inside that wouldn't allow her to be a victim, wouldn't allow her to die. And her love was so strong for her child that she protected it no matter what, put her life on the line no matter what. We don't know these ancient stories, what really happened. We don't know. All we know is they told the story and they tend to embellish things. And then because this guy says this is good, everybody buys it. You know why you buy so much? I'm sorry to use the word, but ignorance. The media can tell you anything. Unless you know the principles about it, you buy it. They say you need to do something, you run and do it. Most people. You see them lined up outside the pharmacy. Because you just buy it. You're uninformed. It's easy to be a sucker. It's sad to see. But we don't have to be like that. You can judge an exercise. You can judge. Even medical treatments, the pills they give you, they know they're nothing but symptom. They focus on symptoms. They don't cure. They try to cover the discomfort. And this research proves it. I'm not saying anything I'm making up. I do a lot of research that way. I take the natural principles I learned and I dig. What is science saying now about this? What is science saying? Why do I see so many people going that way, not getting results? Why? I want to know why. And why do some people go another way and get results? That's why the education is so important. You don't feel good? Why? You don't know why, how can you possibly fix it? The famous great grandmaster says this is good. Well, I need to respect that, it must be good. I'll spend 8 hours a day doing that. Yeah, I'm sorry, I've been there, I've done that. I learned the hard way. But learning the hard way is how you really learn. I mean that, because you know firsthand experience. But if you're never shown another way, you don't realize. When you're on the wrong road, you don't know unless someone shows you the right road. You think it's right. You go and you go and you go and you're not getting results, and you go and you go and you're not getting results. It must be something I'm doing wrong. We question ourselves, trying so hard. You know, maybe someone can't lose weight. Try this diet, try that diet, try another diet. They lose weight, put it back on, lose weight, put it back on. Why? Until you can answer that question for yourself, you don't have the right diet. And the easiest way I've found to know what's the right diet, how do you feel when you eat that way? If you eat a meal and you're tired afterwards, that food's no good for you. When you fill your car with gas, does it stall out? Food is supposed to be energy. Rechargeable battery. Charge it up, full charge. Now what? It doesn't work for a while? See, you eat the right thing, you feel good. Again, experience tells me this. The way I grew up, I ate a certain way. Every time I ate, everyone knows Thanksgiving. Everybody crashes after the meal, right? Yes, delicious, social, we have a great time. But is that food fuel for my system? Is what I'm doing good for me? Is this exercise that this great specialist teaches, is it good for me? How does it feel? But don't get confused. To make progress, you have to have discomfort. We've talked about that too. Remember, push, too hard, too little. To grow, to change, to make a muscle stronger, there has to be some discomfort. So we can very easily misjudge too. Be careful. Another question. Yes.
Sir, sometimes, a few times during meditation, I got this sense that there was kind of like this, almost like a chasm in front of me, and then I felt very, like a big, I don't know, like something empty, I guess. And then I felt like very extreme caution. And it kind of pulled back. So is that just like a fear or a block I'm experiencing, or are there actually any dangers in meditation?
No, there are dangers, but it's not that kind of danger. The danger is not there. The danger is, okay, the fear is your thinking. You didn't know what that was, so you get scared. So then you're not meditating, now you're afraid, right? Sometimes a meditation drops a level, you get deep, you can get scared. Same thing, you don't have to see anything, you just feel, whoa, it's like you lost yourself. That's just the unknown. That's new. So that's where a little faith, a little belief, it's okay. You coax yourself and you relax and then you go with it and you experience more and you realize you can let go far more than you realized. The real dangers, in my opinion, have more to do with when you're not grounded in the physical, you can get flaky. You can get sort of, you don't care about things. You know, you may stop washing yourself, you may stop eating, you get detached from the physical. And now you can't function in this world. And you're here, so you need to function in this world too. There are people who got deep into meditation, got deep into spiritual things, and then their whole family breaks up because they're not taking care of their children, or they divorce their wife because they're not, all of a sudden they become miserable. They're not connected. That's why, in my opinion too, the body-mind training, martial arts, has a physical aspect. You need to get strong physically. A tree doesn't just grow up. The tree grows down too. You want to expand into the spiritual, you need to grow here too. You need to get a strong root, strong connection. Then it comes down to centering. And from the center, you can expand infinitely. But if you don't have that root, you float. And that's what it feels like. And then you don't care. You know, it's like people who do a lot of drugs and they don't take care of their stuff. Meditation can become like a drug like that. There's a certain euphoria involved. So you disconnect. You don't care about people, you don't care about money, you don't want to pay your rent. I'm spiritual. Yeah, homeless too. Okay? So be careful when you feel those things. If you catch yourself that way, you need physical work. You need to do the physical side. If you're just meditating, that can happen. But most people don't really meditate well. I've talked about that too. They're sitting every day 15, 20 minutes or something, and it's just a little relaxation period for them. I'm talking real meditation where you get deep. then you start, you can easily drift. You can easily get too light. Your mind just disconnects. There's the left and the right hemispheres too. One's very analytical, one is actually spiritual, emotional. Just so, that's the best I got on that, yeah. The unknown though, it's easy to be afraid. Some people see spirits. You see a spirit, it could scare the living bejeebies out of you. Yeah, I've had students come and ask me about that even. Oh, see, am I crazy? What's going on? I calm them down because I've seen them too, but they're very scary when you first see it. And it's not necessarily like this. I mean, not like you see on TV. It could just be a bit of energy. It's like an entity. You see, something's there. You know, if you feel it too, it's real. You may have very clear dreams too. Very clear, like you're very involved with them. You get messages from the other side, or you just have meetings. You just, like we have a meeting on the physical level. You can meet and talk and enjoy on the spiritual level. But you don't let go of where you are in reality too, the physical reality too. But once you know, again, it's my opinion. Some say otherwise, but I don't believe much in a spiritual side that can hurt you unless you allow it. Meaning you believe it, so your fear takes over and it messes up your head. If you believe, you know you're grounded, you know you're in charge of you, then that can't bother you. Plus, if you're not clear, you can misinterpret. If there was something or someone on the other side trying to communicate with you, your twisted mind can turn it into a monster. Like a nightmare. You have a nightmare. My wife has a lot of nightmares for some reason. I never have nightmares. I can't remember one. So why do some people have and some people don't? It's the same kind of thing. You see something maybe trying to send you love, and you're so scared, you interpret it as something trying to get you. When they're really just, you know, it's a past parent or something just trying to reach out to you. And your mind twists it. If this isn't real for you, okay. But you may be very surprised what can come when the mind is more open and the heart is more open. And you understand more through feeling, through experience, what the oneness is. We're not separate from the spiritual, we just don't see it. Most don't. Some do. But those who don't think that those who do are crazy. Other question?
Sifu, earlier I overheard Mrs. Freeze talking about how it was snowing on Saturday. And I was kind of thinking about how we've had like earthquakes recently and snowing in October and floods and all these kinds of things. From like a Taoist perspective, what do you see is sort of what's going on in the world around us these days that's sort of affecting the physical in that way?
Rebalancing. The earth is a being like we are. You know, to the Native American, the rocks are just as alive as us. Everything is alive. Everything is energy. So it's a natural rebalancing going on. Just even the way we have seasons, it's constantly rebalancing. There's a whole scientific explanation for this, what's going on. They also just say it's natural patterns, environmental patterns, but I believe we have more impact than what a lot of people believe we don't. I think we have more impact. Where we live with so much pollution has to be affecting the natural world. So we're throwing off the natural world. And if you look into it a little bit, we are destroying the rainforest, which is really the main oxygen tank of the planet. what can that do to us as a planet and as a species on this planet? Is the planet going to purge us at some point? I don't know. I don't want to get so much beliefs. Your question more is the answer to my opinion. Your question is really that it's rebalancing, and that I would say is a Taoist perspective. That there are natural forces that have to be in order. And if we throw them too much to one side, they're going to pick up the other to get it back in its normal cycles. My second teacher told me long ago that the Farmer's Almanac was incredibly accurate at one time. These patterns had been observed from generation to generation to generation. They knew exactly, amazingly, how much rainfall, what kind of temperatures, and they could plant around it. They can harvest around it. They can live their life around it. And then something happened, and it no longer was accurate. I wonder if anyone can guess. The atomic bomb. Did anyone think of that? When we dropped the atomic bomb, what did we put in motion? That is an incredibly powerful force. We don't know. But that almanac wasn't so accurate anymore. So have we created an ongoing, the way we've developed at a ridiculous technological pace, have we created a pattern of destruction of natural forces in order to get this Earth back in balance? I don't know, but I certainly think it's possible. Go to meditation.